Nope. We don't need to speed up the process. We don't need to nuke this. You know why? Because this is the non-microwave truth.
I am C.L. Whiteside, and this is brought to you by Time of Grace Ministry. Now, I know when you looked at the title, you're probably like, this episode isn't for me if all he's going to talk about is coaching. And I know your final four brackets, your March Madness brackets are probably busted. But I want you to think about coaching in terms of teaching. I want you to think about coaching in terms of counseling or mentoring or directing or even training. So think about coaching in a broader sense, because then it definitely can and will apply to you. And our first world problem question today is this. Who are some coaches in the Bible? Who are some coaches in the Bible? And who is your favorite coach in the Bible? Now, of course, who is the greatest coach in the Bible? Jesus. Jesus coaching the 12 disciples and all these other people. Jesus is the ultimate and the greatest coach. So you can't use him. But think about some other coaches. And I started thinking to myself, like, all right, who are some other coaches in the Bible? What about Moses? Moses was a coach of the Israelites. Remember, he led the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses had a little Bobby Knight in him. And if you're like, what does that mean? Moses had some anger issues. Moses got angry sometime. You ever seen those coaches who just be going off, or those directors? They're angry. Remember when Moses was supposed to speak to the rock and instead he struck the rock? I was like, he's definitely a coach. He's a coach in the Bible. I thought about, what about Deborah? Deborah was a coach, another leader of the Israelites. She was a judge, led the Israelites in victory in battle. Who's another coach in the Bible? These are my two favorite, probably. Caleb and Joshua, because they wanted all the smoke. They didn't duck any action. When they were supposed to, when God said, hey, I have given you this land flowing of milk and honey, they're like, let's go take it. But other people are like, no, we can't go. They got some giants over there. They got some mean warriors. I'm gonna stay put right here. And they're like, no, come on, let's go. They were coaching the Israelites. They even had to have patience because they had to wait for not that group of people to be ready. They had to wait for those people's kids to be ready, because remember, they wandered in the wilderness for another 40 years. But Caleb and Joshua, I look at them as great coaches with great patience and trust in God. I think about the ultimate assistant coach, Esther, who was willing to risk her life, risk her position in order to give her testimony to the king, who was the head coach. Awesome example of being an assistant coach. Awesome example of coaching and leading. Now, I just listed a whole bunch of Old Testament people. I was like, man, I got to think of a New Testament person. Barnabas, who's in the book of Acts. Remember Barnabas? Barnabas was called the great encourager. His name was meant that. And his other name was Joseph, but he was known for encouraging. And shouldn't a coach be encouraging? So I just named a bunch of coaches, but I want you to think about, are there some coaches that you can name and even explain, like, you know, how is this person acting as a coach? And who is your favorite coach? I want to hear from you. Instagram or Twitter, my handle is ChampionLife23. If you're on YouTube, drop it in the comments right now. Who are some coaches in the Bible that I didn't name? And even if I did name them, who is your favorite coach in the Bible besides Jesus? And this is our first world problem. It is dinner time. The title of our episode is Coaching as a Christian. Now, I want you to keep what we talked about in our first world problem and think about coaching in terms of this. The greatest coaches are going to be the greatest teachers, the greatest counselors, the greatest mentors, the greatest trainers, and vice versa. But when you look at the coaching world, it is a unique and interesting phenomenon. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, home of the Milwaukee Bucks. Did you know that the Milwaukee Bucks right now are paying three different head coaches? So they're paying three different people to run the team. And you know how many people can run the team at once? One. They only got one head coach. So what happened to the other two? They fired him. Why did they fire him? Because they didn't think they could win with that coach. And they said, we got to win now. And coaching is one of those things where people want to see immediate results, and they want to visually see wins, and they want to see losses. And it's the same when it comes to teaching or training or counseling or mentoring. A lot of times people want data-driven stuff, and they want to see certain results. But that can create a crazy type of pressure, and that can make people do a lot of things that they shouldn't necessarily do because they're trying to speed up the process and they're trying to microwave it when they got it. It's a non-microwave process, baby. You can't do it like that. You cannot do it like that. So myself personally, I coach football and basketball at the high school level, and it is a true blessing to be able to do that. But I just wanted to remind you that it's a true blessing for you to coach whatever you're coaching. It's a special duty. It's a special responsibility that you have. Now, for some of you, like, you might be thinking, man, it's easy for you to do that because you are in a Christ-centered environment where you are supposed to talk about God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. And that is true. But what do you do if you are not in that type of environment? You can still coach as a Christian. You can still be different, still look different. Now, it still should look a certain way. There's a certain way that you should be moving. And I want to look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 3, and I want to talk about brother Joseph. Listen to what it says. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, now reminder, the Lord is with you in your coaching or your teaching or your training or your mentoring or your counseling. The Lord is with you. When the Lord was with him, Joseph, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Now, what I just want to point out about Joseph, and this is a pressure a lot of times that we feel when we are in a coaching position. Joseph didn't push out God. Like, he didn't push up God to try to speed up the process. Joseph didn't take shortcuts to try to get to the top or to try to please himself. Remember, Joseph had the woman throwing the panties at him and was like, come to bed with me, Joseph. And he didn't try to cheat the process. He didn't try to speed up the process. He kept his head down and he did what he's supposed to do. In that situation, he fled. But think about it, even when he went to prison and was locked up, he wasn't like, you know what? I was a coach before and it didn't work out for me. So I'm not gonna use my talents and gifts to help anybody else. Joseph still was a blessing to other people. Still was a blessing to other people. He still was coaching as a Christian. Something else that I want to point out to you, even if you aren't in a situation where you are supposed to be talking about God, I guess you could say, is Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. How important prayer is, and sometimes allowing others to see you actually pray. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And as coaching as a Christian, we need to pray. We need to pray. And sometimes the ability to pray and pray in front of others will make people ask you like, hey, what are you doing? Or sometimes people are just going to ask you like, you know, you seem a little different. And when they ask you that, that's opening the door where you can tell them, you can be keeping real with them. It's because of God. It is because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. Something else that coaching as a Christian, why it should look different is because we should have a certain type of self-control as Christians. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Look at what Galatians 5 verse 22 says. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And on this episode of Coaching as a Christian, we should be able to shine the light on others. Allow God's light to shine through us. And that should look and that should sound different. We should talk different. And a big thing, I know sometimes you definitely probably shouldn't be cussing people out. Bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Like, yeah, that's going to make you look just like people of the world. But one of the big things that the coaches that I work with and myself, what we try to do and remind the players so many times is like how much we love them. You constantly need to tell them that you love them. But it's hard to see them or to love them if you don't see them as people with souls, if you don't see them as children of God, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. But when you see them as that, it's a lot easier to love them. It is a lot easier to remind them of their purpose and their special calling that they have because you remember God's love and grace and mercy for yourself. Look at what Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 tells us. It tells us, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Christian coaches are the light of the world. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 tells us, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever, are like the stars forever and ever. Now, that's a true blessing to remind people and lead people to righteousness by doing things God's way. And that's something we always have the opportunity to do when we are coaching as Christians. Now, I don't want to get this twisted. Sometimes people think like, all right, you're a Christian. When you coach, that doesn't mean you're competitive. Like, what? That you definitely can be competitive. Something that I talked to my players a lot about this year, and it was like a little joke. It's like, man, y'all got to be Christian thugs. And what I meant by that is just being tough, willing to stick your nose, willing to dive on the floor, willing to do all like the dirty work things. If you got to sacrifice your body a little bit, sacrifice your body a little bit. And that model thug, truly humble under God. Think about how tough Jesus Christ was. Toughness and learning how to compete and be aggressive in the right way. Toughness is not like somebody does something dirty to you, so you want to get back at them and do something dirty. No, toughness is like somebody do something dirty to you, and you go and do it the right way. Toughness is getting in the right weight room when you don't feel like getting in the weight room. Toughness is doing things that you don't necessarily feel like doing, but are absolutely the best for yourself and for the team. That is what toughness is. And we got to think about like how competitive was Jesus? Jesus was super competitive. He was the most competitive. How do we know that? Because he died to win. Jesus Christ died to win. A lot of people would say, man, I would die to win, but they not really going to actually like die. And then on top of that, Jesus was suffering and sacrificing for every single person else. Most of us just would say we die to win for ourselves. We wouldn't win for somebody else, but that's what Jesus did. And why did Jesus do that? Because God is love. And that is something we always have to remember when we're coaching as Christians, to be motivated by love. Like a lot of times, like, I just want to win, and what we want to win to make ourselves look better. No, motivated by love. And that's what we can see that Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, he did that. And another thing sometimes that people equate with coaching as a Christian is like, that means you get to be soft. And they point to this passage from Matthew chapter 5:39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. That's like, that doesn't mean like you get bullied on the court or on the field, or you're going for a role and you're just like, you know what? Nope, I don't want it. Not like, no, that's not what it means. This passage, a lot of time, what this passage is really getting at, you know, not trying to retaliate against the Romans who were in control at the time, right? Okay, so when some of us feel injustice, and when the Jews were feeling injustice, Jesus was telling them like, it isn't always the answer to fight. But in this case, the answer is to love. Love even when it is tough. And that's not being soft in any form or fashion. And I think sometimes people forget about like, okay, sometimes you shouldn't have patience for certain things. Like you shouldn't have patience for mess. You shouldn't have patience for things that are outside of God's will. And Jesus demonstrates this in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Now, the thing about Jesus is Jesus had righteous anger. Jesus had righteous anger. So he had justifiable anger, and he wasn't like killing anybody in this situation. He wasn't pulling a Bobby Knight and just throwing chairs because he didn't get his way and was throwing a tantrum. No, he had righteous anger. That's something a lot of times we don't have. We just have anger that's rooted in selfishness and us not getting our way and throwing a tantrum. Ah, he did me wrong. This. Like, that's not the type of anger we're talking about now. So you should have impatience for mess. You should. You should have impatience for things that go outside of God's will. And something to kind of wrap this up, this point right here, is what Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 says. When I'm talking about that terms of being competitive, in terms of being tough, it says this: learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. That's toughness right there. And as coach and as a Christian, that is something that we want to allow our light to shine to our other teammates and other members of the team. And on this episode of Coaching as a Christian, it is without a doubt some things that can be very rewarding, but at the same time, tough. And one of those things is getting members to buy into a role. And it actually talks about this in the Bible. It talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to just look at verse 15, what it says. It says, now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Like, it's still part of the body. Now, it is a true blessing, but it is tough to help people find purpose and their calling. It is a true blessing to help people find calling, their calling and their purpose. Now, when you look at this, sometimes we're like, man, if I don't have the exact role, if I don't have the exact position, if I'm not getting this amount of minutes, if I didn't get the role I wanted in the play, if I don't get to sing this in the choir, I'm done. I am absolutely done. And that's something parents really, really got to stop doing. I know your baby's a little sad it didn't happen the way that you wanted to, but it's okay. And sometimes we have to stop doing this and feeling sorry for ourselves and say, man, the coach just didn't like me. They never picked me. And it's like, maybe that's not your role. Maybe you're just not good at it. Maybe it's supposed to be an opportunity for somebody else. And you got a different opportunity coming for you. But are you going to be ready, or are you going to be sitting there pouting and moping instead? And by the way, parents, make sure you stop texting and emailing coaches and directors and all that stuff the night of the event or the night of the game. Like, give it some time before you hit send. Just give it a little bit of time. Give it a little time. But my kid is so sad and I want him to be happy. Kid ain't always gonna be happy. It's okay, baby. It's okay. It's a little obstacle, a little challenge. They'll be all right. They will be all right. Now, something that I want to point out, that especially coaching as a Christian, we should make sure we value every single person on the team. And coming from a team that just did some amazing teams, I'm talking about 30-0. ESPN got us ranked like number 25 in the nation. Max Preps got us like number 7. We have 14 different players on our roster, and the 13th and the 14th person were actually important. Like, they're very important to our team, because if one of them didn't show up, practice changed completely, and they had a role to push other people in practice. Sometimes people forget that they also had a role. It also plays a role in their development in it, and being a young man or a young woman. Sometimes we forget that God is positioning us. God is developing us for maybe something else or something down the road. But sometimes we want to skip steps and we want to speed up the process when it's like, no, you need the non-microwave truth right now. You need to sit your butt on the bench if it comes down to it, and you need to play really, really hard in practice. And that is okay, because you are still valuable to the team. And it helps your development as well. Look at what Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to kind of apply to this. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? No discipline, this is verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And I really want to get at that trained by it part. Look at what Proverbs 22, verse 6 says. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, something that I have seen in our world, in our society, in our culture, is that people do not know how to play a role anymore. Like, people don't know how to be a part of a team. People only know how to be like the star or the person who's always getting their way or always gets to voice their opinion. And if they don't get their role, like, I don't want to be on the team. If they're not getting the minutes, if they're not starting, if they're not getting what they had envisioned, they're like, I don't want to do it. And it's so sad. It's absolutely so sad, because, like, it's super hard to find joy in life with that thought process of, you know, why should I play or why should I do this if I'm not going to be the man or the woman or the star, or I'm getting all these minutes or the role or the accolades? Like, that's super hard. Like, that is a horrible, absolute horrible mentality to have, because a lot of times you need to learn how to be part of a team and be part of a body. And something that us as coaches, especially coaching as a Christian, is teaching our other members of the team how to manage our anger. Like I said, we shouldn't be flying off the handle. It shouldn't be bleepity bleep bleep bleep. And then when something doesn't go our way, treating people as something less than a person. Like, this is still a person with a soul. This is still a son or daughter of the Most Heavenly. You know, like, we have to keep that in mind. And I think another thing for coaching as a Christian is managing wins and losses. At times when we win, we can become arrogant. And it's our role as coaches to remind people of the glory that we have and the blessing to be able to do whatever we're doing and actually have success and not get big headed, not get arrogant. And in the same way, when it comes to the losses, to not act like it's the end of the world and to keep first things first and still treat people as people and still understand that there are valuable lessons through the losses. You better hope you find some lessons, but it's part of the game. It's just part of the game. You're not always going to win. It's part of the obstacle. It's part of the challenge, and that's not a bad thing. And something else that I just noticed, and I'm going to speak specifically to sports, is like when you're coaching as a Christian, there should be a certain way that you speak to people, especially like officials and refs. Like, it's a shortage of officials and refs. You should ref, matter of fact. Like, it would give you a completely different perspective. That was my summer job way, way back in the day. But I know tons of coaches who are Christians, and they're like, man, I got to watch how I talk to the ref. Because one, I don't want my players thinking that that's cool or that's okay. Two, they're already hearing from the stands and the people that's going crazy. Like, that's just doing too much. It's a shortage of officials and refs already. Like, you're going to make people not even want to do it. They pretty much are volunteering their time anyways. And if you actually did it, you would realize, like, oh, this is hard. Like, okay, these people are a human. They can't be perfect. They cannot be perfect in that regard. And on this episode of Coaching as a Christian, I want to talk about something that's actually very, very rewarding. When you get to coach and you get to spend time with people, like, I think about how much time I spent with my football players and basketball players. Like, I spend more time with them than my own actual family members. Like, you talk a lot. You get an opportunity to talk a ton with them about life. And you never want to take that for granted, to be able to share God's truths and God's ways with them, because they have so many different things that are telling them. The world is telling them so many different philosophies and ways they should do things. But you had an opportunity to tell them about God's truth and God's ways and just be a model in how you conduct yourself and through your actions reflect Christ's love. I know for like my athletes, I talked a ton about music with them. You know, they want to talk about listening to Polo G, or like, man, I'm listening to that. That's hot garbage. That's hot garbage. And we get to have conversations about that. I get to talk to them about being a man. What does that mean? What does it mean to treat a woman? How do you treat a woman? What should you make sure you run away from? What should you make sure that you are looking for? Talk to them about embracing obstacles, embracing challenges, embracing when something doesn't go your way. You don't have to run to mom and dad in that regards. Like, a lot of times it's okay. It's helping you develop. It's helping you become a young man, because life ain't always easy. And the quicker you realize that, the better off you can be. And it's just a great opportunity to teach them about life. And there is a special obligation. There is a special duty as we have as coaching as Christians to remind them of the special purpose that they have and how God wants to use them. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about athletics, it doesn't matter if you're talking about music, it doesn't matter if you're talking about performances. Whatever you do can glorify God. Colossians 3 verse 23 tells us, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And we constantly, as coaches who are coaching for Christ, need to remind the people of our team that they're doing this. Because sometimes people are like, why should I do this? Whoa. And then the biggest thing is model it. Model it. When people see like you working hard, like, why are you sweeping that floor so good? Or why are you wiping that table down so nice? Because I'm working for the Lord. That's because I'm working for the Lord. Everything I do, I'm going to try to do to the best of my abilities. And I think it's just huge, especially in our culture and our society, to remind the people that we're working, remind our team members to not wrap their identity up in that athletic, in that sport, in that performance, in whatever they're doing. Wrap your identity up in who Jesus tells you you are. And Jesus has made you a redeemed and bought back child of God. That's what you should wrap your identity up in. Because you wrap your identity up in all this other stuff that is so results driven. Sometimes you might win. Sometimes you might lose. Sometimes you might perform well. Sometimes you might perform horrible. You are going to be fluctuating all the time, and you are always going to have a void. You are always going to have want and need more and more and more. But when you understand and when you look at like what Jesus has done for you, that's like, ooh, that's different. Like, I didn't earn that. I didn't do anything. That's all because of grace and mercy and realizing that God is that good. And it helps you keep first things first. It helps you not put pressure on yourself that you shouldn't be putting on yourself anyways, because Jesus did everything. Jesus did the whole thing. Now, what you realize when you coach And I hadn't been a coach who's been defeated and a coach who's been undefeated. Especially when you are winning, sometimes you think you don't need God. And it's like, no, you definitely need God. But sometimes we're willing to forfeit ourselves. And the same thing goes for losing. Sometimes when we're losing, we're like, oh, there must not be a God. Or you know what? I need to help God out. So I need to start cheating the process. I need to start looking for shortcuts. And it's like, no, that's not the way to do it. Mark 8, verse 36 tells us, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? First things first must be put first. Now, something that Jeff Sitt said to me, we were talking on Twitter, shout out to Jeff. We were talking about when you coach, when you're coaching as a Christian, I have eternal consequences in mind. So everything that I do is thinking about how can I help these young men? How can I help these young women? How can I help the team members that I have? How can I help them feel the love of Christ and know about the love of Christ? Just that's an awesome thing. Because I mentioned earlier, like, how competitive Jesus is. Like, how competitive is he? He was willing to die. He was willing to die, and he did that, and he suffered hell for us. But die for what? Die for what? And this is what I mean by keeping first things first. This is something that should always be ingrained and imprinted and indoctrined in our minds. It's Matthew 22, verse 6. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is something I remind my players of every single year. And this is something that you can remind your team members of. And if you can't verbally say it, you definitely want to show it, and you want to have this be reflected in the way that you do things. Is that, all right, if I could win a championship, if the Lord came to me and said, hey, you can win this championship, but that means one of your players will have to go to hell, would you do it? And it's like, absolutely not. But the beautiful thing with God is we can do both. We can win some championships and we can have salvation because it is a gift from him. But I always remind my players like how important it is. And the main thing that I want them to win, the main thing that I want them to get out of it is their faith strengthened. Because it doesn't really matter if we win a bunch of games or we lose every single game. At the end of the day, it is about your spiritual well-being. And that's something I try to remind every single player of every single year throughout the year. How much they are loved, how much Jesus cares for them, how much he is watching them, how much we can serve him through this game or through this or through that. Like, we can serve God through a silly game of basketball or football. And whatever you are coaching, whatever you are counseling, whatever you are mentoring, you can serve God in that exact same way. And to close this up, there are two things that I want to leave you with. First, I know at times you might be like, man, what I'm coaching, what I'm counseling, what I'm mentoring, is that of any importance? And the answer is yes. You are very, very valuable because you are helping plant seeds or water seeds. And we know that faith comes from hearing the message. And you can be that message in a lot of cases. And the second thing is this, be different. Look different. Talk different. Love different. Be reminded of how Jesus loved so differently and like no one else ever could. And when you are reminded of that, that allows you to be the light, be the good news, be the reflection of Christ. And this is the non-microwave truth. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Coaching as a Christian. Peace, punch, Captain Crunch, and other drugs, and yes to Jesus. I am out.